Today is Father's Day, and I want to share with you maybe the top 10 things you learn from Dad. Number one, when he was your age, kids had to walk 6 miles to school in the snow and in the rain, uphill both ways. Number nine, if he acted like you act, his father would have knocked him into the middle of next week. Number eight, when he was your age, kids had to create their own fun. Get outside and go figure something out. Number seven, you were not born in a barn. This is a lesson only father can teach. Number six, when he was your age, he had to work for what he got. Number five, you do not want dad to stop the car. Number four, because I said so is a reason that makes perfect sense to any adult for anything. Number three, you'd better stop crying or he will give you a reason to cry. Number two, if you would lose your head if it were not attached. And then the number one thing, potentially you have learned from your father, money does not grow on trees. And so some good lessons that we have learned, no doubt. And I do hope and pray you'll make big a Father's Day. And certainly with your own family and then thinking of your father. I called my dad this morning and wished him a happy Father's Day and just so grateful for the heritage that I have, and encourage you to make sure those expressions are made and that the honoring that God would have is there. Well, we began 2 weeks ago, because last week was the groundbreaking, on this lesson of Satan's third strategy to pollute and plunder. And we talked about how Satan, there's a war on, and Satan wants to destroy our home. And he begins with division. How can Satan divide and fragment the family? Then he wants to get us out from underneath the authority of God-given biblical authority in our lives so that he can destroy it. So he wants to divide, he wants to destroy, and then we began learning 2 weeks ago about his desire to pollute and plunder. Once the family is fragmented, they're ripe for being divided. Then he can get them out from underneath the authority. Now they're out from underneath the protection. They're vulnerable. They're at risk. And then he begins to pollute their lives, leading to greater destruction. And we started this lesson 2 weeks ago, and I'm just going to review very, very quickly. The first half, you can listen to it online if you weren't here, and I would encourage you to do so. We talked about an internal corruption. And we talked about the fact that we have to discern and how to recognize the internal problem, that Satan is always after the heart of the matter. We read out of Romans 7, Paul's conflict with what I know to do. Sometimes I'm not doing that. And the very thing I know I should not do, Paul said, I sometimes find myself doing that very thing. Paul said, there's a struggle happening within me, the spirit versus the flesh. And it was as real for the Apostle Paul as it is for you and I and our families in 2018. We have to recognize that. And we talked about in that recognition exposing the spirits of this world, knowing a right from wrong, the spirit from the flesh, and understanding Christ's way and understanding what Satan is trying to do in his deception. And then we talked about the process of this corruption and what is Satan trying to do in our hearts and our home. And we talked 2 weeks ago about the fact that it begins with an attraction. Satan is trying to attract us to the world. He wants the things of the world to look good. It's a smokescreen. It's an advertisement. It's a lie, but that's what Satan does. He's great at it. He began doing it in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, and he continues to do it today, where he is deceiving people and making the things of this world look really good. And that attraction, then, if we're not careful, can lead to an adaptation. We're attracted to the world, and all of a sudden, as we live, we begin to adapt to a worldly lifestyle, sometimes without even knowing exactly what is happening. That's all review. If you missed it, listen to that lesson from 2 weeks ago online. Let's dive in together this morning then with point two, letter C, new material. What happens when Satan leads from attraction to adaptation? It leads, letter C, to addiction. Satan is looking to attract and then to have us adapt our lifestyle to the world so that he can get us in a cycle where we become addicted to sin. Now, if you've ever met someone who is addicted to drugs, many times if you get an opportunity to talk with them in their right mind between fixes, they will tell you how much they hate their life. They hate the addiction. They hate the extent in which they will go to meet or to fulfill that craving and that addiction. They hate what it's turned them into. They hate the person that they have become. And all the while, they continue to do the drugs and to destroy their body. In fact, during leadership conference, we showed an incredible video of a young man in our church who went through years of drug addiction in great turmoil, and God, by His grace, turned his life around. And yet, someone who's addicted to drugs doesn't always enjoy the drugs or the lifestyle, but because of the addiction, he goes back over and over again. The Bible talks about in Proverbs, just as a dog returns to his vomit, we sometimes return to our sin. It just develops into this addictive nature, and we need to be careful that Satan doesn't have a stranglehold on us and an addictive desire for the things of this world. And we're not talking about something physical. I'm not going after your favorite donut this morning. Don't worry. It's Father's Day. It was fine. Brother Randy shared with me, he said, "Brother Rule, I've got a new diet strategy. When I come into class, I'm getting just the donuts with the holes in the middle. They're much less calorie that way. And I've got a new kind of a new system going." And I thought that was great. So I'm not getting after that this morning, not a physical, but a spiritual addiction of the heart. And Satan wants us to leave attraction, to adaptation, to an addiction, to where this has now become a part of our lives, but it's destroying our lives from the inside out. That's what Satan is striving to do. He wants this pollution from the world in our lives on a consistent basis. And here's what happens. When we become addicted to the things of this world, when Satan can pour the contents of this world into our life, into our heart, and into our home, letter D, it leads to then an alteration. We begin to change. And that is Satan's ultimate desire. Why? Because Satan wants you and I to reflect this world. Now, what does God say about that? Notice this in your notes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here we are, there's a war on. God wants you and I to reflect the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Satan wants you and I to reflect the image of this world, and there's a war on. There's a war on for our life. There's a war on for our heart. There's a war on for our home, our family. Will we reflect Christ or will we reflect the world? What do people see in us? Do they see Jesus or do they see the world? And Satan has a strategy. There's something very attractive. What could possibly be wrong with that? It looks just fine. I don't think it's any big deal. But you begin to get attracted. Then you begin to adapt a little bit. And then if you're not careful, it's an addiction. All of a sudden, it has completely altered who you are. And now instead of people seeing in us Jesus, He cannot be seen because of everything that has taken His place. The Bible says in Romans 8:29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." God's will is that you and I would be formed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. But Satan doesn't want you and I to live like Christ. He wants you and I to live like this world. And so he's trying to reprogram our hearts. He wants to get inside and make some alterations that what people see is anything but Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Isn't it sad to see so many broken people today? Isn't it sad to see what happens when someone's life is riddled with sin? Now the Bible is clear that sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And yes, the TV commercials make it look good. The Hollywood crowd sells the script. But when somebody goes down that road and swallows that hook, that's not where it leads. And it leads to some severely altered lives that are incredibly unpleasant. God challenges you and I, be aware, be careful. What's in your life and what is your life reflecting? This morning, fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, does your life and relationships reflect Jesus Christ? Is that what people see in you? Or is it the world? What's happening? And where do the alterations need to take place? Satan wants you and I to take in negative influences in our heart so that he can produce a fallen and changed countenance. And can I challenge all of us this morning that we're all going to face difficult times. Alex and Maria, who's in our class, and he was having some difficulty Thursday and began to have a hard time even computing and making decisions and answering a phone, and they began very concerned, and they call 911, they rush him to the hospital, and sure enough, he had some blockage in his veins leading to his brain, and they had to take him in yesterday morning for emergency surgery for 2.5 hours, and thankfully they got it, and they'll do the other one, Lord willing, tomorrow. But they began to discover there was something seriously wrong and some action had to be taken right away or this man's life is in jeopardy. And sometimes when we evaluate our own life and we see that there's something wrong with me. I don't have the joy of the Lord. People don't see Jesus in me. I don't have a walk with God that's genuine, where I really just enjoy talking to God on a daily basis, reading His Word, telling people about Jesus. There's something inside of me that's missing. And my encouragement to us this morning is really to analyze what's in me. Is it Jesus or is it the world? Because what's in me is going to come out. And Satan is very aware of that. And Satan doesn't want anyone in this room being a billboard for the cause of Jesus Christ. Satan doesn't want anyone you work with this week to hear about Jesus from you. Satan doesn't want anybody who watches your life to think, what makes them tick? What do they have that I don't have? Satan doesn't want that. And he's going to fight it. And you and I need to be aware of that. And we need to be careful. What's in me? Am I reflecting Jesus or am I reflecting the world? Don't let Satan change you. And you say, what are the signs of this corruption? And there are many. But can I give you one this morning before we move on? A major sign of inner alteration that's happening in this corruption, maybe that's taking place from Satan to the world, is confusion. Confusion. And if you find yourself in a position where you're not really sure what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to say, that you feel like your emotions are always shifting, they're always all over the board, you're never really in control of any one particular day, I just want to challenge you. Check on what's happening inside. Because Satan is the author of confusion and God is not. Satan wants God's children confused. He wants them very hesitant. He doesn't want them confident. He doesn't want them walking with God. He just wants them walking around in a daze, confused, willing to do anything. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace as in all churches of the saints. God doesn't want you and I living in a fog, not knowing what to do. God wants you and I living with Him in great comfort. The Bible says in Psalms, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. And Satan wants you and I to believe that there's no one there that can help, but God is. And Isaiah says of the Lord in Psalms, or Isaiah 26, 3, that will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. In class, we have to have a mind that is stayed on the Lord. We have to have a trust that is in the Lord. We have to have a walk that is with the Lord. And when we do, there is a confidence about the way in which you and I live. Amen. May we be very careful who's altering us. Now, here's an interesting thing. Both God and Satan want to alter who we are. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man come to know the Lord, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you and I come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus begins to transform our life from the inside out. We are less like who we used to be, and we are more like Christ. And isn't it interesting that if we give our life to the world, Satan doesn't want us to be who we are. He wants us to reflect the world. So we have to determine, who are we going to follow? Every one of us will have someone we're following. And it's either going to be Satan in the world and we're reflecting that, or it's going to be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to take inventory. Lord, is my heart, is my home, is our family reflecting you? Because Satan tries to alter. And when he does, let her read, it leads to annihilation. The final tactic of Satan's progression as he infects and destroys our home is annihilation, the total destruction of any spiritual purpose and significance that we should have in this life. And when you look around, sadly in 2018, there are a lot of Christian people and Christian homes that have no spiritual purpose. There's no fruit, and there's nothing happening to the honor and glory of the Lord. What is that? That's a casualty. That someone who had a lot of potential that Satan got to. And through attraction and adaptation and addiction and alteration and annihilation, they've been sidelined. And they're not living for God. And they're not reflecting Christ. And people are not coming to know the Lord because of them. And they're not accomplishing what God created them to do. They're not fulfilling God's will for their life. And it's a tragedy. It's a casualty. Well, that's not our prayer for anyone in this room. That's not our prayer for anyone in our families. So we have to be aware, hey, Satan's trying to defragment the home. Satan's trying to divide. Satan's trying to pollute. And we have to be on guard to know what Satan is trying to do. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And Satan knows what he's doing. He's trying to take us through this progression to render our lives useless before the Lord. So what must we do? Constantly be on tack. Be on guard. Be careful. Be aware. Listen, Satan's after me. He's after our home. This is what he's trying to do. Lord, help us to be vigilant and to be discerning and understand this is what Satan's trying to do. And he's trying to sneak in. And I just want to challenge you in your marriages and your homes. Be aware of that. Where is Satan trying to get a stronghold in your life and in your relationships today? And can we touch on an area where he's using it so very, very well as we close this lesson? Thirdly, corruption often comes through the media. Now, throughout every day of our lives in the United States of America in 2018, we are inundated with media. And it would be good for you and I to understand that Satan is doing everything he can to destroy our lives and homes. And think about this. There are only two entry points into your mind, your eyes and your ears. So as Satan goes after your life, your marriage, and your home, think about what's coming into your ears and what's coming into your eyes. What are you looking about? What are you thinking about and what are you hearing? That has a large part in the mind that's being developed, in the image that's being reflected. Is it honoring of the Lord Jesus Christ? So we need to be aware of the corruption of media. A few areas, letter A, music. Music is the world's most powerful voice. The Bible says in John 3:31, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Now, all music is spiritually significant, and it affects the heart. It has implications in the heart, and it's communicating a message. All music is communicating a message, and we need to be on guard about the music in which we are listening to. Satan and the world understand very clearly the power of music. There's a reason why music is so pervasive. There's a reason why it is so popular. There's a reason why it is so powerful. Satan and world understand the power of music, and they want people listening to music that is against God, that is against His Word, that promotes immorality, that promotes violence, that promotes a wicked lifestyle. Those are often the themes of hit songs. Why? Because there's an agenda. And Satan is trying to accomplish something through that music. And God says, you better be discerning to understand that and have the right kind of music coming into your life. The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with your grace in your hearts to the Lord. And God wants you and I to have the right kind of music. Good songs and good music are full of the words of Jesus Christ. They're full of the word of God. They're full of truths and doctrines that we find in the word of God. And they teach you and I to live with a heart for God. And that's the kind of music we want in our lives, in our homes, on our devices, coming into our lives at all times. And we've got to remember that the music is everywhere and the culture that goes with that music is everywhere. So be careful. Why? Because Satan wants to pollute your home. And one of the entrances is into the ears. So quick question, what's everybody in your home listening to? Be careful. What's coming into the ear gate? What lyrics have been listened to? What words? What themes? What innuendos? What messages? Is it helping the hearts of those in your home to reflect Christ? Or is it feeding a reflection of the world? What's it doing? It's a very powerful voice, and we have to be careful. We have to let her be, then submit our heart to God's voice. The Bible says in Psalms 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And many in our class have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior a little later in life, and there may have been a steady diet to some music that was dishonoring to the Lord. And God now today has put a new song in your mouth. And I hope that your relationship with Jesus Christ is reflective in what you listen to and what you sing and what you speak and so forth. There's a new song that He desires for you to have. God wants your music to reflect your relationship with Him. We were told in Romans to be not conformed to this world. And the music that you and I listen to, that we allow to have influence in our life, should reflect the relationship that we have in Jesus Christ. And it should reflect the fact that we are no longer our own, but that we are God's. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is, if I'm an unbeliever and I listen to hard rock, and I get saved and I say, now I just listen to light rock, that's not what God was looking for. God wants me to be transformed. God wants me to listen to good, godly music that talks about God and gives me a heart for Him and brings me into a moment of worship. And I want to be careful what it is I'm listening to. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And a lot of the music we listen to, we need to be discerning. Is it right? Does it bring me in worship to the Lord? Is it joyful? The Bible says in Psalms 98:4, make a joyful noise in the Lord. All the earth, make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise. And God wants you and I to live in praise to Him. I'm not a musical expert. In fact, that verse right there is about my talent level. Make a joyful noise. I qualify for that. That's about it. Brother Hopkins is in here and his musical expertise and knowledge and so on, it would way exceed mine. But we would be in agreement in this area. Music is powerful. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what's coming into your heart and into your home and into the lives of your children. Is it reflective of Christ or is it reflective of this world? We have to be careful. Can I give you an illustration? And this is a simple illustration, but I hope it'll get you to think. Disney and Pixar put out movies quite frequently. And in years past, they put out a movie entitled Frozen. Frozen is a hit animated film featuring these sisters, and if you've ever seen or understand the story, and the one with her inability and making everything turn to ice and so on. And we get somewhere into the story, and there is a song entitled Let It Go. It has become a hit song. If I played it and our children were all in the room, most could sing the whole thing. But I want you to just listen to the lyrics for a moment. The snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like the swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I've tried. Don't let them in. Don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal. Don't feel. Don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go. Let it go. Can't hold back anymore. Let it go. Let it go. Turn away and slam the door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Now listen to this song. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. Here's verse 2. Listen to the words. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong. No rules for me. I'm free. I have a problem with a song that's teaching my children no right, no wrong, no rules. Now I'm free. There's an agenda in that song. They're talking about another sequel to this. They're talking about that may lead to some inappropriate relationship or something. I don't know. And this isn't a lesson against animation or Disney or whatever. It's just a lesson to make you think. What's coming into your home? What music is in there? What's the message of it? What's the direction of it? Sometimes children, even in Christian homes, are hearing themes and messages and innuendos and directions that they have no business hearing. It should never be taking place in our home. But it's going to have to take discerning parents that listen and watch and are aware and say, you know what, hang on, we're not going that way. We're not going to have a home where there's no right, no wrong, no rules. Everybody's free. I think they call that anarchy. That's not the direction we're going. And you say, Brother Rule, it's an animated song. What does it matter? Listen, Satan is a master at what he does. He just wants a foothold. He just wants a little room. And he's got a strategy. He knows where he's going. By the way, I'd rather fight this battle over a Disney song than get into all the other junk that comes with that and be fighting the battle down the road. And so it's got to be careful. We have to be discerning what's coming in, the ear gate, and then letter C as we close, guarding the eye gate. The Bible says in Matthew 5:28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 18, we're challenged to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Again, in 2 Timothy 2:22, you see this theme of flee. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart and class. Can I just tell you, in our waning minutes this morning, there's two entrances into the minds of your life and those in your family, the ear and the eye. Satan knows that. He's a master at exploiting it. And I just want to get you thinking this morning, what's coming into the ears and the eyes of the people in your home? What are we listening to? What are we watching? And I just want to encourage you, examine it. Would we be comfortable, everything that's been shown on a screen in your home this last week being on this screen for all of us to view together? And if not, why? Because what's coming into the eye gate and what's coming into the ear gate affects the heart. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard it, protect it, God is teaching. Why? Because it affects every area of your life. And if you're going to have a home that is secure, you're going to have to make sure the security system works. And you're going to have to make sure you've got some indicators and some warnings and some sensory detection that, hey, we shouldn't be listening to that. What's going on? Hey, we shouldn't be watching that. What's going on? We can't let that into our hearts and lives in this home because we know that's what Satan is trying to do. And we've got to protect our eye gate. There are some things that God tells us in His Word to resist. There are some He tells us to fight. But in the case of sins that are so powerful, He tells us to flee them. And oftentimes throughout Scripture, when it comes to visual sexual sins, God's command is to flee. Get away. Run from. don't mess with. And that's why God tells us in Proverbs 4, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. The Bible says, take to heart and commitment. Psalms 101:3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And I just want to encourage us as a class, take inventory of your home, your life, your marriage, your family. What's coming in the ear gate? What's coming in the eye gate? Is it helping us as a family and as a couple to reflect Christ? Or has Satan altered that? And is what's coming in helping us to reflect this world? And maybe in order for the security system to be working properly, we need to check some of the sensors. Is it catching everything it's supposed to be? Do we have a sensor out over here that's causing us to miss something that if we're not careful and it goes unchecked is going to lead some of the deposits in our hearts and our family's hearts that are going to lead to ultimate destruction if we don't do something about it? And I want all of us to just take heed this morning. Satan is a master at what he does, and he wants to destroy your home and mine. So protect it. And recognize he has a process in which he's trying to lead to the annihilation of your home. So what's coming in? And may all of us take that inventory and say, Lord, help what we listen to in our home to please you. Help what we watch in our home to please you. And if there's some things we need to get rid of, if there's some subscriptions we need to cancel, if there's some stuff we need to turn off and just get outside, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, Lord, help us just to do that, because we don't want to sit idly by while Satan takes a shot at our spouse or our children. And if we're not careful, to plant something in them that could lead to their destruction. So help us to be vigilant. Help us to be humble before the Lord and ask for his help. And help us to take action, that the security system would be on, that the sensors would be aware, and that we would just be careful what's coming in, so that ultimately our life is a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I'm excited to jump into how do we do that in our home and how do we defeat this. But Lord, help us this morning just to understand the seriousness of it, what Satan is desiring to do, to pollute and plunder. And Lord, may we evaluate our life, our marriage, our home. Is pollution taking place? Is negative coming in? Is the world's deposits finding a way to our heart? And Lord, help us to be willing to admit and then to make adjustment necessary and to repel that away from our lives and to want only that which pleases thee into our eyes and into our ears and for our hearts to reflect you. And when people see us, may they see you. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to examine our lives and homes and to strive to have purity and honesty and integrity and that which is pleasing and honoring to thee. So, Lord, help us this week as we do that. Bless every family in class this morning, and a wonderful day to all of the fathers. And I do pray your hedge of protection about them and your richest blessing. And we promise to praise and to thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.